Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media, on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. On Instagram, at Locked On Bulls, and on Facebook, Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop all your text and voicemails. You got any for us this weekend? Make sure you hit that text and voicemail line whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you listen to the show. Matt, happy Friday to you. Got a chance to watch that Bulls and Wizards game, and let's talk a little bit about that. Should we not even bury the lead? The Cristiano Felicio play?
Felicio late getting in. Shot up, no, but a foul.
What was Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
Did he not know that they were out on the floor? That's why they took the ball in. Watch this.
Jim Boylan
Felicio, what are you doing?
Well, Jim Boylan saying, well, you should have waited. You can't wait.
No.
They gave up 113.
Felicio is just kind of lollygagging on, and there's a game going on.
They almost turned this into a three-point play. And there came Felicio flying.
Felicio must have thought the game was over.
Well, I don't know if he was coming from the bench or if
he was on the bench talking to someone, and then at the last second he realized he was supposed to be out there, and he sprints out there, and it's like, that's just, oh my goodness, that should never happen. Right? You walk out on the floor, you see your teammates walk on the floor, you go with them. You know, there's no reason to be over there talking and getting tape on your fingers or whatever you're doing over there. The game is going on. They're not going to wait for you.
What did you, all I could think about was unbelievable. That's the cherry on top of this Bulls season. How you doing on this Friday?
Maybe one of my favorite moments of the season, if I'm being honest. It was just so in character with the punchline that we have come to know as Cristiano Felicio. And to me, like, the part that makes it even crazier and the part that actually aggravates me a little bit is what we saw Jim Boylan doing and the explanation we got from Jim Boylan afterwards. Because in that shot where you see Felicio come running down to the other side of the court.
Wow, what was Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
Jim Boylan is 4 or 5 feet onto the court himself, which is a no-no for NBA coaches. Like clapping and yelling and instructing his guys on a very important final defensive possession. And there he is, so locked in, and yet somehow is not even aware of the fact that he's looking at 4 of his players on the court and not 5. How did he notice that his center was missing from that inbounds play that was being set up? And then after the game, for Jim Boylan to say, well, yeah, I guess the refs, you know, didn't, you know, I guess the refs thought that all 10 guys were out there. Otherwise, you know, they would have called a delay a game and then we would have gone from there. Okay, well, Felicio was on the court. He was just on the wrong side of it. So that's why there wasn't a delay of game call. But Jim Boylan, how do you not notice that you have 4 players on the court?
Oh, my God.
And to say, well, you know, he was making sure, he was asking one of my assistants about whether or not we had a foul to give. So handle that right when the timeout starts. For the love of God, Jim Boylan.
The lack of awareness there was just unbelievable. You mentioned Boylan and Felicio, but even Thomas Bryant, watch that play over again. And Thomas Bryant doesn't even realize that he doesn't have anybody guarding him. He goes to set the pick still. It's like he should have just been waving his hands for the ball. You'd had an easy dunk. They ended up scoring and making the play successful anyway, but still, I just, the clips and the angles from that play, though, are just hilarious. You just see Felicio running from outside the screen and just flying onto the court. It's, I agree with you. I think it's the one of the best moments of the year. And then the turn in his look after Blakeney's dunk on top of Markkanen's a few weeks ago, those are up there, man. I just, do you blame Boylan or do you blame Felicio more in this situation?
I blame Boylan more because we have come to know that Felicio is kind of a space cadet who's not very aware on the court. He doesn't know when, you know, he should be setting picks or rolling to the rim or just essentially he looks like a guy who has no idea what he's doing on a basketball court.
Yeah, that was tough to watch.
So for him to have something like that happen is totally in line with what we've come to expect from a guy that nobody outside of Gar Forman can believe is getting paid $32 million to play basketball in the best league in the world. That in itself is a joke, but we come to expect that kind of shit, pardon my language, from Felicio. The more inexcusable party is Jim Boylan being so oblivious to the fact that as he's yelling out defensive instructions to his guys, he doesn't notice that one of them is missing. I mean, come on, Jim. Come on.
It's too funny. So I couldn't bury the lead at the beginning of our episode because if there was anything to talk about, it was that one play right there. Outside of that, though, the Bulls pull off the win against the Wizards, which at this point, Matt, it doesn't really matter, right? Like, nobody should be upset. The Bulls can't fall down. Atlanta can't pass them. No other team can pass them. Cleveland certainly not going on a winning streak if you looked at their schedule. And they already lost, too, so it's locked up. The Bulls are staying at 4, even regardless of that Wizards win. But want to talk about the guy that you had his back on Wednesday, Walt Lemon Jr., with another really good game. What did you think about his game?
I mean, it was solid. The guy clearly is fearless, has seized the opportunity to play out the final few games of the season, and had a game-high 24 points on Wednesday night. 11 of 16 from the field, very efficient. He did have 4 turnovers. The Bulls as a team had 20 in a pretty ugly game, but he did counteract that with 8 assists. So 24 and 8 in just his third NBA game, that's pretty impressive stuff. He does obviously have some limitations. Most of that scoring comes in the painted area. He loves driving left. Even when he drives right, he prefers going with his left hand, and he's not much of a threat from as an outside shooter. So we're kind of learning a bit more about the strengths and weaknesses of his game, and it's kind of hard to judge when he had a great performance, including some clutch buckets and free throws in the fourth quarter, but at that point the Wizards had sat all their starters. This Wizards team is no, you know, juggernaut of an opponent. So, yeah, he looks good. It's a happy, feel-good story for the tail end of what has been a brutally painful final month or so of the season for Bulls fans as far as watching the basketball that's being played out there. I know a lot of Bulls fans want to throw him into the conversation of who you rather take, and I know I said on this show earlier this week, at this point, hell, give me a flyer on Walt Lemon Jr. over Chris Dunn. You know what? I still think I feel that way. At least the guy can score at the rim.
If you lose Ryan Arcidiacono and you lose Shaq Harrison and you don't end up with Ja Morant, then maybe we can talk about that. But I still got to see more games, you know? And like what you talked about, too.
Against better competition.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And it's not just Walt Lemon Jr. either. It's kind of some of these other guys that we've been evaluating in the month of March and April. You know, you see some of their stats start to inflate a little bit and they're starting to play better, but against what competition is really the question here. And especially in those blowout games, like how many of those stats and what you're actually contributing to the team, how much is that actually productive? So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt, but I think he's certainly done well for himself. And I mean, if he can play out these last 3 games and continue on this pace, I'm sure other teams will be halfway interested, at least for an invite at the very minimum to training camp next year. To go off of this point, somebody had asked, you had said Bulls fans out there are asking to throw his hat in the ring. I wanted to get to our this text really quick from the 847. It said, "Hey, Jordan and Matt, I have a fairly simple question regarding Welt Lemon Jr. Do you think the Bulls bring him back next year? He's a better two-way option than Blakeney. He has really shown ability to in this league since small stints with the Bulls. Does the 20-point games that he's put up mean anything to the front office at all, or will they let him walk regardless what he does at the end of the rest of the season?" So I think that kind of goes in line with what I think. What do you think, Matt, regardless of what this offseason brings?
Yeah, I would be curious to see, you know, if he pops up somewhere else to play summer. Because as a guy who's as old as he is, which is, isn't he like 26? And he's just been working his way until finally getting this opportunity. You usually don't see guys that old playing in summer league. You know, maybe that's something that that is on the minds of Bulls front office right now, is to see maybe if he's worth keeping around, because they have like a timeline of decisions they have to make with some of these back end of the rotation players, especially some of these backcourt guys. You know, like, they have to submit the qualifying offer for Archie Diacono if they want mid-June, and then they have until about August to make a decision on Shaq Harrison. So, you know, where does Walt Lemon Jr. fit into that series of decisions? And also, assuming that they keep Chris Dunn and maybe ask him to slide to a backup point guard role, and what happens? Do they draft a point guard? Do they sign a point guard in free agency? It's going to be some kind of domino effect of decisions before they figure out what they're doing with Walt Lemon Jr. And he might preemptively be a cast off that the Bulls say, you know, "Thanks for filling in. We really appreciate it. But right now you're not at the top of our priority."
Yeah, and you think about the other point guards that are part of this team. Like, you got Dunn, you got Shaq Harrison, you got Ryan Arcidiacono. Three guards that can play backup roles for you in rotation minutes. I haven't seen enough from Walt Lemon Jr. to be confident enough to give him a contract for next year and pass up on Dunn, Arcidiacono, or Harrison, who I've seen for the majority of this season and play pretty well. And those are all three guys that we've talked about in fighting, especially Harrison and Arcidiacono. So I'd rather take the gamble and pay those guys and keep them around for next year than take a flyer on Walt Lemon Jr. I think this was just kind of a, hey, we're bringing you up from the G League. We need people to fill bodies on this roster. And also, too, thanks for what you did for the Windy City Bulls. Here's an opportunity for you to get some exposure to other teams. I think that's ultimately what the Bulls front office is looking at this like. Last thing I got from this game, Matt, is Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, the final time we're going to see them this season. It'll be very, very interesting to see where they go, and we'll probably monitor that over the summer as well. Bobby Portis had 20 points and 10 rebounds in this game, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He was 9 of 18. He isn't
18 shots in 24 minutes. Classic Bobby Portis.
That is crazy. That is wild. He had the same amount of shots as Bradley Beal, and like, Bradley Beal had 18 shots in 22 minutes. That's ridiculous. But one thing on Bobby Portis really quick, he hasn't had that all that great of a run with the Wizards. It hasn't been terrible, but it hasn't been what we thought it was going to be when he came back from the injury with the Bulls, and that could be from a multitude of factors. But the one thing is the defense hasn't really improved. Jakar Sampson absolutely torched him in that third quarter. Jakar Sampson played really well off the Bulls bench in this game. And then Jabari Parker, 12 minutes, 0 for 5, 0 for 2 from 3, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and only 2 points. So what did you think about both of their performances?
Yeah, I mean, it's I have no idea what's going to happen with those two former Bulls this offseason. It was another reminder that I'm very thankful of the way that things worked out with the Otto Porter trade. I think the Bulls got the better end of that deal. In fact, I was chatting with Josh Freiman on Sports Feed last night about it. I don't know if you saw that Athletic column came out a few days ago about the teams in the NBA who are not playoff bound this year but have the best, you know, future as far as what they have and what they're building with. And the Bulls were number 4 on that list. And one executive was talking about how the Otto Porter trade was low-key one of the most underrated positive trades that a team has made in the last 5 to 10 years, praising the Bulls for that maneuver, which, you know, maybe it's a bit of a stretch to say it's one of the best trades in a decade across the entire league, but I clearly think the Bulls got the better end of that deal. I Bulls fans who are whining about Otto Porter's contract, like, just why are you whining? The Bulls made a proactive decision and got a quality player at a position of need while shipping off two players who only provide one-way talent, and one of whom you were lucky turned down a contract that would have made him an overpaid bench player, and the other of whom was a failed experiment who needed to go because both sides were sick of each other. So, yeah, in that sense, it was a great trade. And, you know, all the best to Bobby and Jabari. I hope they find their respective paths and find a new home that makes them happy this offseason. I don't know if either of them are going to get the money they're looking for. My guess would be that they won't. And I don't necessarily think that Washington is going to make a priority to be keeping either of those guys.
Yeah, I would assume that they're going to keep one of them. Jabari Parker looks like he's played better with the Wizards in that system than Bobby Portis has. So maybe they let Bobby Portis walk and they try to keep Jabari around on maybe another 1 year deal or maybe something that's incentivized. Just from what I was reading from Wizards reporters, it seems like he's had a better stint with the Wizards than Bobby has, which if you think about it a little bit from a deeper level, that kind of makes sense, right? Bobby, a little bit blindsided by the trade, didn't want to leave Chicago. Jabari couldn't get out of Chicago fast enough to try to get a restart. Kind of makes sense. Like, Bobby's numbers dipped, a little bit harder time adjusting. Jabari just wanted to get out and find a fresh start. And so it kind of flip-flopped in terms of their seasons and what we thought was going to happen. So, it'll be interesting this summer. Well, I want to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, I want to touch on something on Otto Porter Jr. since you brought him up. I think I've started to formulate opinion, Matt, on Otto Porter Jr. and thinking that you were definitely right at the trade deadline and just going back through his stats over the last 3 years and just trying to formulate what his value is, who he can be for the Bulls, and just playing off your opinion too and off that exec's opinion from The Athletic about this being an underrated move. So we'll have that. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
What's up, Locked On Bulls Nation? Matt here with a message from Wyze. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It has 1080p full HD picture quality, image is so clear you won't miss a single thing. Also a night vision feature and two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. You can check on your home anytime with Wyze's app's live stream. Connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. And that includes live streaming with an 8x digital zoom. The possibilities and uses for Wyze Cam are endless. Yes, it could serve as a great nanny cam for all of you parents out there. But what about bachelors like me? Sitting in the living room watching the game, you got dinner cooking on the stove, and you don't want to go back and forth between the living room and the kitchen 10 times during the game just to check on dinner. Put a Wyze Cam on your coffee table, bam, you can keep an eye on whatever's simmering on that stove of yours without having to bother to get up and go to and from the kitchen while the game is on. That's my kind of product right there, improving my quality of life as a sports fan. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. And here's the best part. Not only does it work with your mobile phone from anywhere, it also is compatible with Alexa. For all of you in-home smart speaker users out there, like me, Wyze Cam compatible with Alexa. Boom, this product is amazing. Go to Wyze.com, that's WYZE.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price on your Wyze Cam today. That's Wyze.com, WYZE/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price. Life moves fast. Your in-home camera should too.
Back here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop all your texts and voicemails. Whenever you're listening to the show, wherever you're listening to the show, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Bulls 2, Himalaya, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you get your episodes as soon as we drop them. So Matt, talking about Otto Porter really fast, has your opinion changed at all, I guess? I know it's been a small sample size in the 15 games, but your opinion changed on what his value can be next year and beyond that? You know, I've been better about separating myself from the money that he's owed. I don't really care about that anymore. It's not that big of a deal at this point. I want to know what he can do for the Bulls and what his value is in terms of if they do look to move him, say if they get Zion, or if something else happens that comes up in the next year or two. You know, a lot of things can change, and I think he still has value around the league. So what's your perception and kind of your expectation going forward for him and what he can maybe do next year?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, because all you have to do is look and see what happened in the month of February when he arrived and was playing and playing well. And not just what he provides himself, but what he provides as a guy who can help his teammates. And I think one of the biggest reasons we saw LaVine and Markkanen play so well for certain stretches when Otto arrived is because of the way that he can make smart basketball choices, makes the right pass when he should pass, takes a shot when he has an open shot. He spaces the floor with his three-point threat, and he's a pretty decent wing defender. He makes his teammates better in a lot of ways and immediately fill a position of need. Now, I know some people will say he's overpaid. Yeah, that's true. Some people saying that he's not quite as good as what he showed in his short 15-game stint since his arrival from Washington. Now, maybe, maybe not, if you look at his career numbers. I mean, he shot 48% from downtown in the 15 games he played with the Bulls. That is insane efficiency from behind the three-point line. But he still does have a career three-point percentage of 40.5. So even if he's not as deadly from downtown as he was in his stretch of games, moving forward into next season, he still can be that reliable player who, guess what? You know, fight as he may about talking about how important it is for the Bulls to outscore their opponents in the paint every night, Jim Boylan needs to wake the hell up and realize that three-point shooting is vital to winning in the NBA these days. And some of it is not Boylan's fault. Some of it is that this Bulls roster this year, for certain stretches, has been very limited as far as who is out there on the floor who can make a three-pointer. Otto is now one of those guys. And making sure that Otto becomes a offensive threat in a variety of ways, but particularly as a three-point specialist, is something that absolutely must happen next season, and it's going to help LaVine and Markkanen and his
team. I think Otto Porter's lands on this list of guys to just going through his stats, not even just from the Bulls season, but going back to the last two seasons he's had with the Wizards. He lands on this very interesting list of guys. So I ran a number, Matt, in players from their fourth to their sixth season in the NBA, guys that averaged over 13 points per game, shot over 40% from three, and had an effective field goal percentage of 50% or higher. And this is going back to 2000. There's only 10 guys that have done this, which is, and while they don't play the same position as Otto Porter, I think it still jumps out to you, even though some of his box score regular numbers don't. CJ McCollum's one of those guys. Klay Thompson was one of those guys. Steph Curry was one of those guys. Joe Johnson was one of those guys. Peja Stojakovic was one of those guys. Wally Szczerbiak, Ray Allen, Steve Nash.
Yeah, that's a good list.
Those are some pretty damn good names. Understanding that list and then looking at what Otto Porter does this season and looking at per game averages, that doesn't really jump out to you. But when you start talking about efficiency when he's shooting and over a long stretch of time, three seasons, I think this is where I started to open my eyes a little bit and say, wow, maybe this exec that's talking in The Athletic is right. And this is a really underrated move, and he hasn't untapped any of that potential that was there with the Wizards before. We're only seeing a portion of that.
You can roll your eyes at the contract if you want to. But knowing that the Bulls weren't going to be major players in free agency this summer, and that by the time the Bulls reached the point of their you know, long-term timeline when it comes to things like re-signing Lauri Markkanen and hopefully keeping him on a big contract. Otto's contract will be up. And he is a veteran who can hopefully provide some leadership, especially if Robin Lopez does, in fact, move on to greener pastures this offseason and the Bulls decide that they don't want to pay him to be Wendell Carter's backup. Otto can not only provide that stuff on the floor, but hopefully also can provide some leadership and two more years on that deal. And then suddenly, when the rest of this young core has hopefully matured a little bit, Wendell's had a couple of years under his belt, LaVine is in his prime, Markkanen is working towards his prime, Otto's deal comes off the books, and the Bulls have hopefully what will be at that time a more enticing young core to come play with. And maybe Otto Porter decides, I like this, I found a role that fits me, I like playing in this city, I like playing for this team, I like these guys, and I'll happily take a pay cut from my previous humongous contract to stay here and allow the Bulls to free up at least maybe one max spot to offer to some of the big free agents who might be willing to come join us in what we're working on right now. So in the meantime, for as long as Otto's contract exists, they have a bunch of guys who are young on relatively cheap deals and one borderline big deal with LaVine, which is still probably right now a very team-friendly deal. He's not even making $20 million per, and he's a borderline all-star. So all of the pieces of the Otto Porter Jr. trade and the way that that unfolds moving forward is all positive for this organization.
All of this across the board, I think, is overlooked because his usage wasn't high in Washington. That's what makes me excited about next year, is kind of seeing him be able to grow into a little bit more, seeing his usage rise over 20, maybe 22, 25%. You combine that with Lowry, you combine that with Zach, you combine that with Wendell, and focus on what he could potentially be for the Bulls over the next two seasons if he sticks around. So the numbers are ridiculous, though. It's absurd. And some of these players that are on these lists, if you run it over the last couple of seasons, he's up there with the best of them. I think it's just he's gone underrated. Switching topics really quick, let's go to one person in particular that's going to be an interesting... It's going to be an interesting look at free agency. It's been a guy that we talked about a lot. Robin Lopez, he got a shout-out in Zach Lowe's column today, and just talking about the season that he's had, and especially with all the injuries the Bulls have had, and now going to sort of a quasi-G League roster over the last month or so, still putting up impressive numbers. So that was kind of cool to see, him getting a shout-out from a national stage. This doesn't happen too often with the Bulls in a rebuild.
Yeah, and especially because I'm not sure if you listen to Lowe's most recent podcast, you know, his Low Post, which I try to listen to regularly. I think it was the one where he had Chris Herring on. But he opened his show with a joke about how we're getting so close to the end of the regular season, mercifully, so he doesn't have to sift through Chicago Bulls box scores and try and figure out who the hell these G League players are outside of Robin Lopez. And maybe that's what motivated him to throw Rolo into his 10 things column this week, saying they have no better option to throw the ball to Lopez in the post and let him pivot opposing centers in circles. And it's kind of working. The Bulls have averaged 1.1 points since the trade deadline when Lopez shoots from the block or dishes to a teammate who finishes the possession per Second Spectrum. That's comfortably above average and legit impressive considering the surrounding talent. Lopez is tossing in patented floor scraping ice cream scoop shots where he palms the ball almost at knee level, extends his arm, and flips a weirdo hook shot over his head. When he enters pivot mode, it sometimes looks as if he's the only player standing on a very slow moving turntable. Lopez is one of the league's beloved teammates. He revels in grunt work. He stays upbeat even as fellow Bulls contemplated a full-scale mutiny, and good players around him keep disappearing. It's been nice to see him show off his scoring ability.
To the basket, roll to the basket. Big fella, watch your head bender. Is there a chiropractor in the house? My neck hurts. Oh, my goodness.
So some nice praise there from, as you said, a national ESPN NBA writer. And he's accurate about the, you know, joke as we might, the efficiency of Robin Lopez in the post. And I know it's something that Jim Boylan has been obsessed with, especially as some of his more, I guess you could say, versatile offensive weapons have started taking a seat for the remainder of the season. And he really is one of their best offensive options on a nightly basis, which is why we see things like Boylan's continued obsession with outscoring his opponents in the paint every night, and the Bulls still managing to lose to the Knicks because despite shooting 20 more shots than the Knicks did, the Bulls got outscored by 40-something points behind the three-point line. So credit to Robin Lopez. Honestly, this late-season renaissance, or Rolosance, if you will, might end up pricing Rolo out of the Bulls being able to keep him. So that's kind of, you know, the double-edged sword with what we've seen from Rolo at the tail end of this season.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the only problem this offseason is trying to figure out whether he's actually going to get an offer from a team that's going to let him start. Like, that's probably still in the conversation for him, but it depends. Like, are you willing to just go to another team that's going to middle? That's probably where he's looking at, right? Like, what other starting teams in the playoffs are in desperate need of a veteran center? Can you think of anybody that's going to be in the playoffs right now or continue to contend next year that needs a veteran starting center like Robin Lopez? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head right now. I mean, maybe the Warriors, like, if they don't re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, like, what are you going to do there?
Right, which is possible because Boogie has not really been a very successful fit so far.
So maybe that's an option. I mean, he's got the Steve Kerr connection. We talked about it back in February, so that's a place. But he can still start in this league. I just don't know if he wants to win or not. If he doesn't want to win, then it's not that big of a deal. He'll find a place to start somewhere. So, yeah, and like you said, it's going to come at a price. Are you going to pay the dude north of $10 million a year or something like that to be your backup center? Probably not.
Or would you rather spend that money on a point guard, you know?
Right. Yeah, what a turnaround he's had all season long, though. You know, thinking back to the beginning of the season where he started and just not playing really well, thought he kind of fell off a cliff, and then turn around, Boylan becomes coach. Boylan's revived his career. I hope he sticks around, though, but like you said, it's going to come at a cost, so.
There's no denying that he's been a trooper, a great teammate, and now has actually proven that when he is given a higher usage percentage out of necessity, he can still be a very effective post scorer. And maybe all he needed to do was get the opportunity to develop a little bit of rhythm. And we've seen just exactly what he can do. And I mean, he just turned 31 earlier this week. It's not like he's some over the hill washed up center who's, you know, too old and slow. Look, he still has some athletic shortcomings to his game, and on the defensive end that's still kind of an issue, but, like, you know, we're seeing him put up these 20 point games and doing so very efficiently. But again, it all comes down to the Bulls having a limited number of dollars to spend this summer and where they need to address the holes in this roster, and whether or not they think that keeping him around and paying him to stay around is really worth it. And, you know, I mean, I guess it wouldn't necessarily be out of character from what we know about Robin Lopez to see him take a pay cut from his, you know, modest. What's he been making, like 12, 14 million per over this contract that he was on when he came from the Knicks? So maybe he likes this team so much and likes being a veteran leader on this team so much that even knowing that he's going to lose this starting spot to a, you know, a second-year player, a 20-year-old in Wendell next season, that he'd still want to stick around and stick around for less money. Now, I'm not saying I think that will happen. I'm just saying that knowing the type of person that we have come to know Robin Lopez to be, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I don't see any problem with that either. I think the one thing would just be guaranteeing him minutes, you know? If he's still going to play 22 to 25 minutes, I think that could extend his career too.
Right.
You know, you don't have to play 30, 35 minutes and risk an injury at being in, what was he going into, his 11th year in the league? So that's some things to think about too, and continue to play that mentor and that veteran role. Another team I was thinking about for him too, who's the Dallas Mavericks center right now? They don't have one, do they?
I mean, not really.
They moved DeAndre Jordan at the deadline.
I mean, like, can you really call Dwight Powell a center?
No. Yeah, so they don't really have, I mean, yeah, it's
Maxi Kleber?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty thin.
That might be an option. That might be a place. I don't know how he fits into Rick Carlisle's system, but it just kind of makes sense what he's helped Markkanen do. Similar styles if Porzingis comes back healthy next season. Maybe that's something they...
And you know, unless what they want to do is play Kristaps at center.
That's true, too. That could happen, too. I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line at 331-979-1369. Drop your voicemails, your text messages, anything you got for us this weekend. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. Himalaya, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you get your episodes as soon as we drop them. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we're out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com